And now we go live to Lord's to catch up on play in the third test.
Well, here at Lord's, we've had a marvellous day so far. And alongside me is the formidable Fred Truman. And at the wicket now is the stocky figure of Graham Gooch, defiant and resplendent in his protective headgear. What do you make of all this protective headgear, Fred?
Well, I suppose they feel it's necessary, but in my day, we didn't used to pansy around with all this namby-pamby headgear. When I used to face the great pacemen like Wes Hall and Charlie Griffiths, I never wore protective headgear. Never used to duck out the way, either. If I was bold and bouncer, I used to hit the ball to the boundary. I remember once I headed Wes Hall for 26 in one over. And Wes turned to Frank Worrell. He threw up his arms in despair. He said, this Truman fella is some sort of god.
Gooch pips that ball from Dev off his legs for a single, which gives David Gower the strike. Fred, what do you make of Gower's batting today?
Well, when is this young man going to learn to move his feet? It's not for the want of being told. I mentioned it to him in the bar last night. I said, for God's sake, learn to move your feet, Gower. And he just walked away. Can you believe that? I've not been impressed. Not impressed at all.
So, that's Gower not out for 496. England 842 for one.
Well, but before lunch on a pitch like this, they should have got more. I remember in Calcutta, 1960. I came in to join Trevor Bailey. I was night watchman. I was no great batsman, yes, but I knew when to move my feet.
And with that.
It's time for the Million Pound Radio Show. Will you please welcome your hosts, Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel?
Thank you very much. Good evening. And tonight we'll be looking at the sensational discovery of some more Dead Sea Scrolls. The scrolls include 5 more books of Isaiah, 3 of Ezekiel, and 2 books by Barbara Cartland.
And we'll also be looking at the new means testing scheme for Social Security claimants, whereby they're asked to regurgitate their food to see if they've eaten anything expensive recently. Norman Fowler will be explaining that one to us later. And we'll be looking at the brain damage suffered by boxers.
Well, like punch, you know what I mean, Harry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Fowler. I said we'll get to your bit. And we'll be looking at the brain damage that boxers suffer.
And we'll be talking to the former heavyweight who keeps punching people unconscious every time the alarm goes off on his digital watch.
That's right. So, Nick, what have you... Bloody hell.
What?
Look at that, just coming through.
Yeah.
It's the wild fox.
Good heavens.
Just running around the back
of
the road.
Incredible.
That's amazing.
Wow, yeah, I know. Well, they're coming further and further into the cities these days, aren't they?
Yeah, I know.
Well, we better get on.
Yeah, yeah. So, Nick, why don't you tell us what you've been doing over the past week?
Andy!
I said, why don't you...
Timber, Andy, get out of the way!
Anyone seen a fox?
No.
Not at all, certainly not.
No.
No way.
No.
Oh, so, no fox?
No. Do you mind taking all your horses and dogs away? Only we are doing a radio show.
Oh, of course, yes. Sorry.
Yes.
No fox here, you say?
No.
You haven't got a studio cat, have you?
Afraid not, no.
Well, we must have something small and furry that the dogs can rip to bits.
I don't think we have, sorry, no.
We just need to kill something, you see. I know. Any facialists?
Well, I don't really think
there's
that...
a man in the third row wearing a Hands Off the GLC badge. He'll do.
Yeah, but you can't
there
go...
There you go,
after
him.
Wait.
Badger, I'm going to hit my wolf.
Well, sorry about that, everybody.
Yeah, very sorry.
Don't know what to say.
Yeah. Oh, and I've just been handed a newsflash. We've just heard that in response to Chernobyl, Mrs. Thatcher has ordered a retaliatory accident at Sellafield. So that all our radiation can blow towards Russia. So, Nick, have you been up to anything exciting this week?
Yeah, I went to Covent Garden, actually, to see some ballet, you know.
Oh, I bet that was expensive, wasn't it?
64 quid. The view wasn't great. Yeah. I was a bit far back, you know, but it is the world's premier opera house.
Where was your seat?
Hampshire.
What was the ballet?
Swan Lake.
And who was in it?
God knows.
Actually, I saw some dance this week. I went to see the Hot Shoe Show.
Oh, yeah.
Wayne Sleep stars in it. He's got quite a following, I thought.
Yeah. I've heard he's a bit of a cult.
Yes, I've heard that, funnily enough. You know, never actually worked with him, mind it.
Go on, then.
What?
Well, it's you now, isn't it?
Is it? You sure?
Yeah, what's next?
I don't know. Can't remember. Oh, hang on, I've got a memory aid for just this situation. You know, one of those easy-to-remember mnemonics.
What is it? That's catchy.
Yeah, it helps. It stands for, if you forget what's next, don't forget you have a running order in your diary. Yeah.
Well,
what?
Look in your diary.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, sorry, forgot my diary, right, yeah. I've got a terrible memory. I tell you, I've got a worse memory than Kurt Waldheim. I really have. Now, where did I write it?
Hurry up!
Ah!
Last.
It's a bank holiday in Sri Lanka. Yeah.
Well, stone me.
Yeah.
Andy, what comes next?
I'm looking. Defrost fridge. Collect koi pew from vet. Of course, I knew it.
What?
This is last year's diary. Oh, I remember what comes next. I've got a mnemonic for it. Yeah, Anotten, which stands for, and now over to Nick.
Well, listeners, as you know, here on the programme That Probes, we often obtain explosive items of investigative journalism, and tonight is no exception. Using sophisticated bugging devices, we have managed to record this illegal business transaction.
Oh, Mr. Smith.
Evening, Mr. Hudson. Mrs. Hudson, it's good news.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Your years of heartache and anguish are over. As far as my adoption agency's concerned, you'll make excellent foster parents.
Oh, Mr. Smith, I can't tell you how happy that makes us.
Yes, meet your son.
Our son, Gerald.
Why is he in a box?
Well, to be frank, he's a bit of a boisterous little scamp, you see, but you're going to love him. Oh, yes. Come on, out you come. There we are. Isn't he adorable?
He's very hairy.
Yes, he's maturing. He's maturing early. Big, strong boy, and no mistake. Well, we do accept checks, so...
He's got very long arms.
Long-ish arms, I grant you, yes. Running the family. Lovely personality, great sense of fun.
He's climbing the curtains.
See what I mean?
Mr. Smith, he's...
Hyperactive, I know, but then a lot of kids that
Mr. Smith, he's a...
Got a lovely disposition always...
He's an orangutan!
And?
What do you mean, and? He's an orangutan!
Well, you didn't specify no orangutans, are you?
Well, then obviously not! I mean, we just didn't consider a baby that's...
From overseas, oh, I get it.
Now. Get what?
I'm disappointed in you two. I'd never have taken you for racialists.
Racialists? Oh, come on, that's not fair.
Just because he's a little different.
He's a monkey, he can't even talk.
Yeah, that's right. Reject him just because he happens to be a little backward and a marginally different species. Yeah. Well, I got you two all wrong, didn't I, eh? I saw the nuclear power, no thanks stickers in the window. I thought, hello, here's a nice, progressive, liberal-minded couple, but I see now it's all talk. Oh, well, come on, son, you're not wanted here. Back in your box and let's go on.
We'll take him.
What?
We'll take him, won't we, Gerald?
Yes, we'll take him.
You won't regret it, I promise. Now, three little tips, okay? One, if anyone asks, he's a Kampuchean orphan with a thyroid problem, okay? Two, if he gives you a big friendly cuddle, scream for help. Three, he loves watching telly, but don't show him any Russell Grant because he'll spit at the screen, okay? Now, we do accept checks.
Right.
I can see you're all going to be very happy. He loves it here already. Look at him over there, swinging on that beam.
And at this point, the recording ends as the house collapses.
So now it's time for...
Well, I'm afraid we've had to interrupt the Million Pound Radio Show there, as we've got a personal grudge against the people who make it. But now on Radio 4, it's time for our weekly programme for Asian listeners.
Namaste. Prakeshni Pami Bumiputra Malakni Binji Purigani Ramashani Jimmy Tabak. Dame Manipur Shuna Brahme, mentally retarded. Bunja Sumai Kalichani Prakesh Rough End of a Pineapple. Ne Ramash Daspo Rani Om Edwina Kari MP
Bani Pari concrete mixer, guri slune, sri pamesh ni zindi bai, jolly good idea.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Tomorrow at 3, we'll be bringing you Afternoon Theatre. This week's play is a chilling parable of 20th century alienation.
Where am I?
Where are you, Dave? Where are you, Dave?
I don't know. I don't know where I am.
Where are you, Dave?
I don't know.
Where are you?
I don't know.
That's Where Are You, Dave? An experimental play by award-winning writer David Ralph, investigating the consciousness-expanding qualities of methylated spirits. And now, back to the short bearded one and the one called Nick with the green teeth. He once made a drunken pass at me in the lift at Broadcasting House.
They don't make continuity announcers like they used to, do they?
Nah. I blame the comprehensive system.
Oh, don't talk to me about comprehensives. My cousin works at one in Southampton.
Yeah?
Yeah, I went up there to give a talk on careers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had a terrible time getting there, you know. Car broke down, and they closed all the train lines while they made a British Rail commercial. So anyway, I hitched a lift with this BMW. I should have known I was in trouble when I saw the personalised number plate, you know. Sod 1. Thanks for the lift.
Not at all. I like picking up strangers and showing them what the new BMW can do. 0-90 in 6 seconds.
Impressive, yeah. And that was just in the garage forecourt.
Well, there goes another hedgehog.
Actually, I don't think that was a hedgehog.
Huh?
Well, hedgehogs don't usually push shopping trolleys, do they? I think you hit a little old lady.
Oh, God, how terrible.
Yeah.
Little old ladies are really sticky. You get bits of them stuck to the hubcaps. Bugger to get up.
I really think we should stop.
Nah, it's okay. I'll clean it later. Oh, God. God. God, I do love a new horn, don't you? Say, you all right? You've gone a bit pale. Am I going too fast?
Yes, you are a bit.
Oh, sorry, I'll ease it back to 130. Oh, no, look at that typical woman Porsche driver limping along in the fast lane at a piddling 100. Come on, woman, out of the way, move over.
You are a little close to her.
Well, of course I'm close to her. I'm trying to shear a bumper off. Goes across the central reservation, bouncy, into the oncoming traffic, and bullseye, terrific. I hate Porsche drivers, they're so bloody aggressive. Hey, what are all these flashing lights?
The warning lights, we're hitting a bank of fog.
Fog! Hey, you just said my favourite word, it's put down on the boards and warp factor 9. We hit something.
9 cars, 4 lorries, 2 vans, a horse box, and a hovering kestrel.
Oh, a personal? A personal best. Terrific. Say, this fog's bad.
The fog's cleared.
Has it? Oh, must have lost an eye then. One of my legs seems to have gone AWOL as well.
Yeah, I think we're trapped.
Cooey!
Hello in there.
Oh, look. One of his legs is missing. I've never seen a missing leg before.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think you could phone for the emergency services?
What, and put an end to all the fun?
Fun?
Oh, yes. This is our hobby, you see. Pile up spotting.
We drive up and down waiting for a nice bit of motorway madness. And then we just get out the picnic table and watch.
It's great. Much cheaper than going to the theatre.
Mind you do tend to see the same faces coming round again and again. Morning, Mr. Bridges.
Good morning.
I see you managed to hit a kestrel this time.
Nice one.
Look, will you please...
All right. What's going on here, then?
Oh, Constable, we're trapped in the car and this guy's bleeding.
All right. One thing at a time. Now then, what's your name?
Andy Hamilton.
And which way did you vote at the last election?
Well, what? Is that relevant?
Well, how do I know you're not a flying picket travelling north to an industrial dispute disguised as a casualty in a motorway pileup?
Oh, come on!
No, we're trained to look out for that sort of thing, you know. The modern policeman is a highly skilled, ultra-aware strategic operative with the observational expertise to... Where's his leg gone?
I tell you, Nick, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, sounds like it. What happened in the end? Did you get to your cousin's school?
Well, I was a bit late. Well, about 3 weeks late. Mm. And anyway, I went and found her in her class. And, you know.
All right. All right, calm down. Derek, yeah, I don't care if you think trousers are a concession to bourgeois morality. Your pubic hair is unsightly and unnecessary. So put it away and don't be boring. Quiet, everyone. Now, this is my cousin, Andy.
Hi.
I don't want a repeat of what happened to our last guest speaker, the community policeman you greeted with a chorus of kill the filth. Yes, Derek, well, you may have seen him as a symbol of state oppression, but the fact is you made him cry. Okay, Andy, away you go.
Right, hi.
Hang on, Andy. How? What are you doing? I see. Now, you all know Ho has just arrived from Vietnam. His English isn't very good, so who told him it was good manners to wear his underpants over his head? You know how trusting he is. I don't think it's fair to exploit that. We are a multiracial family. Akma, can you wail a bit more quietly? And you're facing the wrong way for Mecca, it's that way, yes. Just behind Sainsbury's, that's right. Okay, now quiet! Andy, away you go.
Right, well...
Charlie, don't explain a female orgasm while Andy's talking. Well, do you know it's more interesting? Quiet! Ahmed, I've told you before, no goats to be slaughtered outside a Muslim assembly. Sally, don't give Dean love bites. Look, you've made him bleed now. Now, quiet. Ho, get away from that Bunsen burner. No, Derek is not interested in your Buddhist rituals. He's just trying to set you on fire. Derek! Go see the headmaster. Now! Never mind if headmasters are an archaic concept. Go see Mr. Boone now. And this time, don't you dare steal his volume. Right. Now Derek's gone, maybe we can... Ahmed, stop waving that scimitar around. That's how we lost Gary's hand, isn't it? Okay, Andy. It's all yours.
Blimey, that's quite a tough school, isn't it?
Yeah, it is for an infant school. Yeah, very tough.
So how did your talk go, then?
Well, I was interrupted by a surprise visit from Education Minister Kenneth Baker.
Uh-huh.
Now, he's completely revising the curriculum, making it more relevant for kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Introducing new work-related subjects like industrial studies, chimney climbing and begging.
Right.
Later on in the show, how to avoid heartbreak and rejection in personal relationships. Never speak to anyone.
And we'll be meeting the Iranian amateur photographer who always chops people's feet off.
But now...
You know, guess what happened to me yesterday?
What?
Well, there I was at home, right, minding my own business, you know, trying to work out why John Motson reminds me of a wardrobe, when... Yeah. When suddenly... What's going on?
Mr. N. Revel of 14 Barney Road?
Who the hell are you? What have you done to my front door?
British Telecom. Accounts Department. We'd like a word about your last bill.
Well, there must be some mistake. I paid it 2 weeks ago.
That's right. £22.50.
Exactly. So, I mean,
£22.50? Call that a bill, Mr. Revel. Not enough. How the hell do you think we'll cover our advertising costs if skinflints like you only make one local call a fortnight?
Well, ads cost money, you know, Mr. Revel. It takes years to train those camels and ostriches to hold those telephones.
Well, I mean...
Well, you're clearly not acquainted with the full range of BT services currently available to the subscriber. You seem a little surprised, sir.
Yeah.
Now, if you'd phoned Dial a Horoscope this morning, you would have known we were coming.
If you don't get out of here immediately, I'm going to call the police.
Don't try and get round us like that, Revel. You know damn well 999 is a free service.
Hello? It's for you.
Hello? What? The Sydney Stock Exchange? No, I will not accept the chance.
Oh! Whoopsie, Daisy.
Yes, of course I'll accept the charges. Gold is up 3 points.
Well, there's a good boy.
Cheerio! Look at the state of this place. I don't believe it.
Milkman! vandals. They've broken my telly, the front...
Oh, dear, what happened here, then?
Would you believe it? British Telecom. They smashed the place up.
Oh, dear, what a world, eh?
I can't believe it.
Never mind. What can I do for you today? I've got some lovely potatoes on the float, farmhouse eggs...
Nah, just 2 pints, please.
I said, I've got some lovely potatoes on the float and some farmhouse eggs.
But, Andy, I didn't let him intimidate me.
Oh, right.
I just realised it's good sense to drink a lot of milk, it's good for you. Full of protein, calcium, iron, important vitamins.
So what did you order?
100 pints a day.
Yeah. Well, now, it's time for our archive feature, The March of Time.
Come with us on The March of Time. The year is 1953. Churchill is Prime Minister, Eden is Foreign Secretary, and Jimmy Tarbuck is a moron. That's not an historical fact, just a personal opinion. In America, in 1953, Eisenhower became president and chose as his vice president Richard Nixon. Nobody knew why. Soon there was conflict in the Oval Office.
Come in, Dickie.
Mr. President.
Dickie, I appreciate the work you've been doing, drumming up support. But I feel I have to have a word about the lying.
Lying? What lying, Mr. President?
Well, yesterday you visited the Wyoming Christian Union, right? And you told them that you were Jesus. And therefore they should all vote for you.
Wow.
Then there was the appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show when you told Ed that Khrushchev likes to play with little boys. I don't think that did much to ease the Cold War, do you, Dickie? I'll be candid, Dickie. I don't feel it's seemly to have Richard Nixon, Vice President, behaving like a compulsive liar.
Did you say Richard Nixon? Oh, I'm not Richard Nixon. You're confusing me with my twin brother. No, I'm Trevor Nixon.
Dickie.
Yeah, people often get us mixed up,
you know. Don't give me the Trevor routine, Dickie.
Hey, what's Richard been up to now? He's always landing me in trouble.
Meanwhile, in Britain, 1953 was soon to become a memorable year. The young Princess Elizabeth was crowned queen. Cheering crowds shouted, God save Her Majesty, except for a small group of troublemakers who shouted, Come on, Millwall. In what was a marvellous year for the royal family, Gordon Richards rode the Queen Mother's horse, Pinzer, to victory in the Derby.
Come on, my son, come on, my son, he bloody did it! And I had a monkey on that. Woodman, go and collect the boats.
But most exciting of all, across the other side of the world, Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing had conquered Mount Everest.
My God, Tenzing, what a fantastic sight. Look at it, the entire Himalaya stretching out beneath us. What a view. We're standing on the roof of the world. It is magnificent.
Ah, yes. I always like it up here.
What?
Oh, yes, I often bring wife and children up here for picnic.
Your family come up here?
Oh, not just family, whole village come up here. Every June we have village gincana, keg stores, hoopla, winner yeti competition.
You mean we're not the first?
Oh, did you think you were first? Oh, sorry. I never realized. I just thought you wanted the fresh air and a look at the view. Oh, look, there's Kathmandu.
Never mind Kathmandu! Now, listen, Tenzing. I'm going to write you a very large check.
And soon the news broke that Hillary had conquered Everest. And Sherpa Tenzing opened an account with the Halifax. It was the crowning achievement of a wonderful year for the entire British people, except me, as my wife left me for a cheese salesman she met at Butlin's. And time marches on.
And that's all for tonight. Next week we'll be looking at the new British-made sun lamp that comes on once a year for 10 minutes and then soaks you in water.
And we'll be asking a member of the print union, SOGAT 82, why they brought out the Don't Buy the Sun stickers 12 years too late. Good night, thank you.
The
£1 Million Radio Show was written and presented by Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel and featured Felicity Montague and Harry Enfield. It was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.